God is so faithful. So faithful. It's so good again to be here this morning. Thank you, Brother Derek, Sister Holly, for allowing us to minister this morning. And Father, Lord, I want to tell you, church, before I say to give honor to whom honor is due. And this church is very blessed. I don't say this because he's my friend or because they are my friends, but you're blessed with two of the finest preachers and teachers that I've ever met. Brother Derek and Brother Shane, God has used them mightily, and I've watched them grow up. As Brother Derek already alluded to, we've grown up together, but I'm so thankful that Brother Shane talked about the transformation and the love of Christ and how it transforms us. And if you've ever been around somebody and you've seen that old carnal nature and that flesh, and I know we fight it still, that it doesn't just die and never live again. But I'm so thankful that when you watch a transformation in somebody's life, you don't have to listen to their words. You can see it in their life. And I'm so thankful, honored to be with these men and family. Of course, their wives, and we'll leave them out. You know, they say behind every good man is a good woman. And you know, talk about them being the neck and turning the head and all that stuff. But I won't get into all that this morning. But so thankful to be with good friends and company. Romans chapter 5. This morning, if you have your Bibles, very familiar scripture. Brother Shane, would you mind standing and praying over the preaching and reading of God's Word this morning, brother?
Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness to us.
Yes,
God. Lord, we come to this time to hear of your Word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd open our ears to hear. Lord, that we would take your Word and receive it as for what it is, an eternal Word that shall forever live on when other things pass away. And I pray, God, make us not only hearers of your word, but doers also. I pray that you'd anoint Brother Tripp this morning to bring forth your word. Give clarity of thought and quality of expression so that when we leave this place, Lord, we'll say, surely the Lord has met us here. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, from that all have sinned. Nobody's exempt from that. All have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sin, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Christ or Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If I can preach to you for it, I'll do my best. I know I don't want to hem myself up here, and I don't know if you understand that terminology, but we use that back where I'm from. On Sunday mornings, I know we're all thinking about dinner, and I myself, you can look at me and tell I don't miss many Sunday dinners. But, you know, if we could just set that aside for just a moment, I know that the Lord has directed my heart in this way, and I believe that God is going to help us. His presence has already been here. And I'm not a great theologian, and I'll be honest with you, I hated school. I went to school. I did graduate from high school. I've taken some college classes, and I've been in law enforcement for January 1st will be 11 years, and they've given me a supervisory position I'm thankful for, and God has blessed me. But if I can... God laid this on my heart. If I can try to my best to convey this to you this morning on a simple thought of when God reacts. When God reacts. We know Newton's law. Anybody that's in here, maybe you've forgotten. Newton's law is every action has an equal or opposite reaction, which applies to the universe as we know it. God's word even proves this theory by telling us that we reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. If we sow to the spirit, we reap life everlasting. And we as flesh are bound to this law. Anybody in here not bound to this law today? Anybody in here want to show me if you release this little handkerchief right here that it'll stay where it's at? I hope not. We'll have to pray. Hey, the wizards and even in Moses' day, they were able to throw down their rods and make serpents. So I know the enemy has some power, all right? But what I'm saying is that all of us as humanity this morning, we are bound by certain laws of nature. We're bound by gravity. I've not known. I know that many, Brother Jordan probably is, I've watched him. I don't give him too much credence, and other people, you know, defy a little bit of gravity, maybe on the basketball court. And jump a little bit higher than I obviously can. I'm very bound by gravity. The older I get, and the more I enlarge my coast, I become more bound by gravity. I've noticed that, Brother Derek. It does make a big difference for me, and it has in my life. And I want you to know that I'm just simply human, and so are you. We are bound by these laws this morning. But Newton's law doesn't apply to our God. God's reaction, as a matter of fact, is always greater than the action causing him to react. We see this in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's reaction will always bring something into finality, either in judgment or will bring a resolution of deliverance. We understand that in the very beginning that God created Adam and Eve, and I'm not going to bore you with that story, but we understand that sin entered in by transgression, and God had to judge by putting us out of the garden, making us work by the sweat of our brow. I've heard, I don't know how many people say, and I agree with it sometimes, if I could get my hands on Adam. Because work, labor is not really fun. Now, it fulfills you as if you're a man and you work. And let me just drop this little plug in here. If you're a man and you are able to work, you should work. Because it fulfills your obligation as a man. But also that there would be pain in childbirth. But I'm glad that God didn't stop there, and his final reaction wasn't that he left us there, but he followed his creation out of the garden. He didn't just kick us out and say that because of your sin, I can't have any fellowship with you anymore. But I'm glad God's reaction wasn't in finality at that time, but that he actually followed us out of the garden and reacted in grace. Genesis 3 and 14 said, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." We see the contrast here and in the verses that I've read, and we see what sin did and what God's reaction was even to the serpent. The serpent was not without consequence. Even the very animal or creation, you want to call it, I hate snakes like anybody else. You talk about putting enmity. Well, he put enmity between me and the snake too, because I don't like snakes. All right, but God cursed that. His reaction to the enemy using that serpent, and that serpent allowing itself, I'm not exactly sure, and I'm not going to explain to you how that works. But anyway, the enemy allowed, you know, or he was allowed to use God's creation to work against him. And we always think as Christians, and Brother Derek, I wish that we could get to the place to where God would utterly destroy the adversary or the devil in our lives. And I know, I understand, I don't want to give the enemy too much credit, but even our flesh, and I wish that it was put down to where when it died once, I don't believe in once saved, always saved, but if you died once, you know, and that was all that we had to deal with and the flesh was never able to rise back up, I think we would all be a lot happier in here this morning, and that we've got it and we've conquered sin and we've conquered the flesh and the enemy has been put down and we can live a victorious life. Amen. We wouldn't have had to come up here and pray this morning. We wouldn't have had to raise our hands. But I'm glad, Brother Derek, that God's reaction to sin and God's reaction to transgression and God's reaction to the enemy of our soul is He doesn't utterly destroy the enemy, even though that's coming. But every single time when you and I call upon the name of the Lord, He will utterly defeat him. Amen. For me and for you. We go on a little bit further and we see Noah, and God help me right here, in Noah's day, God had to react to the sin that had come up before him. What does Genesis 6 and 5 say? And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. My. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. My, what a place. But I want to tell us this morning, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I promise you, I'm trying not to take too much time, but if you look at the day and the hour and the time around us, I can say, and my mind was absolutely blown last night when my wife began to tell me about something that happened at NRG Stadium. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Apparently, they had some kind of music festival called Astro World Stadium, but he had a big concert. And one of the songs and what they were depicting by the stage was hell, Brother Derek. It was hell. It was a platform that looked like a tunnel, and it had lights and big flames and big shoot. Look this up, okay? It had big flames and it was shooting. And if the song, I didn't see the song lyrics, but if what I'm being told is true, it was lyrics about not being able to escape hell. And there were people, Brother Derek, who were following this artist, whoever, that's giving them too much credence, were following this person that was up on stage, and he was singing to them about not being able to escape from God's eternal damnation, and instead of running the other way, they were pushing themselves, and they were surging towards this man. And they ended up being trampled. People dying. He wouldn't even stop singing. That's what I was told. He was notified about the events. He was notified that there was humanity, people that were dead in the concert and on the ground, and he wouldn't stop singing so that the crowd would be pushed back. Wickedness. Evil. It's here, church. It's not around the corner. It's here, and I'm telling you, we serve a great and a big God. And there comes a time, even in this nation, where God will have to say, I'm going to have to make a decision because of the iniquity and the sin that has risen up before his face. Sin's reaction when not met by the grace and the mercy of God is judgment and ultimately death. We know this for the very familiar verse, for the wages of sin is death. But Brother Derek, I come to preach to you this morning and tell you, Genesis 6 and 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We can change God's reaction, church. By our actions, God's reaction to the wickedness of this nation and this world must be judgment. But we can find an ark of safety if we're faithful and we please God. God deals with us on an individual level. I'm glad he doesn't group us together, Brother Shane. Because of the wickedness of this nation and this world, I'm glad he doesn't group us together. I'm glad he knows exactly where to send judgment. I must tell us judgment starts in the house of the Lord. So the Bible says, I've got no other doctrine. But we must be right. 1 John 2 and 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We see, Brother Derek, I've already mentioned it, but I'm going to read it. God's ultimate reaction to sin was Calvary. When he reacted, he didn't finish in the garden. Oh, yes, he judged the serpent and he judged man. But his ultimate and his final reaction to sin, I'm glad it didn't just stop there, Brother Shane, but I'm glad that he sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I'm telling you, brother, I was reading that the other day, and I don't know how many times I've learned it, Brother Derek. I probably learned that when I was six, maybe even younger than that, 5 or 6 years old, when that very verse in Sunday school was taught to me. But Brother Shane, it illuminated itself to me, and that very phrase said, should not perish. That means the church, if we perish, it's because we did everything in our own ability and our own power to go against the very will of the Almighty God. Do you understand what a powerful thing self-will is? Do you understand what a powerful decision that is laid before us, either life or death, and what we choose? Do we understand the weight of the matters? My, what a choice God has given us. We can have life. We should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was God's reaction to sin, was Calvary. He said, yeah, I understand that you've messed up. I understand that the creation that I made fell, and that we were weak in the flesh, and that we weren't able to stand, and we chose to walk away from God. But God's reaction to sin was Calvary. But church, if I'm going to tell you about Satan's strength in the last days, if I'm going to tell you about the fact that it seems like that more powers of darkness and more powers of hell, if you will, have been turned loose against the church of Jesus Christ, there must have been a reaction from God for this. And Brother Shane, I believe it started in Acts. I believe that God sent us. He said, it's needful that I go away. I must go away, but that I will send one to you. I won't leave you comfortless, church. I'm telling you, God sent us the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost, that in this day and age, and when I'm hearing things that are turning my stomach, they're turning the inside of my very soul, Brother Adam, I can't help but get upset. The things that I see from day to day, I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things that I wish, and you know what? I'll be honest, it has desensitized my flesh. My soul still cries. My soul still hurts within me, but it has desensitized my flesh to the cruelty, the sin. I would love to tell you that nothing happens in the county that I work in, but one of the very ones that I had a chance to be a school resource officer for a little while and tried to talk to him, brother, and I tried to tell him, but you know, I didn't preach to him. I just tried to counsel him. I just tried to help him, and he wouldn't listen to me, and he wouldn't listen to anybody else. Can I tell you where he's at this morning? This isn't a story that I've listened to somebody else tell. This is something I watched myself. He's in a jail cell for second-degree murder. 17 years old. Because he wouldn't listen. And finally, Brother Derek, God gives mercy to whom he'll give mercy. There's not an exact science. God's got it. I'm not worried about that. He sees the heart. Oh my, we talk about when we see people's actions. God sees the very intent and the very motive of the heart. And he's a faithful judge. And he exacts judgment on whom he will. But I'm telling you, Brother Shane, there was no stopping that young man. He just plunged headlong into it. And now, nobody can help. I'm being honest with you. Nobody on this earth can really help him. They're good attorneys. They're good things. I don't want to go too far down this road. But, you know, there's the arm of flesh that can help some and bring some relief and bring some comfort. But he is in a place to where if God doesn't deal with him, even if he gets out, I'll be honest with you, we had to fight his own family or the victim's family because they want to get to him. Wouldn't you? Killed their sister. Young, innocent life, murdered. Ruined because of sin. Sin is dealt with. God must react to sin. There must be judgment and it must be exacted upon us. But I'm glad that I can tell you this morning, I feel like telling you, I feel like from the Holy Ghost, that God's reaction not only to sin is judgment, but God's reaction to righteousness is more mercy. His reaction to His church, if we'll call upon Him, is more grace. Who does God resist, Brother Shane? He resists the proud, but He giveth more grace unto the humble. And I've come to tell you this morning that we can look around this church and we can see God reacting to this sin-cursed world. And we can see God's judgment as He begins to exact it upon this nation. But we don't have to be lumped in that mix. No, God giveth more grace. And not only that, church, but He's given us some power. He's given us a place to stand in this day that we're not overwhelmed and that we're not consumed and that we're not judged by the enemy and the wickedness of this world. Yes. Brother Derek, I hate preaching judgment. I hate preaching judgment. And I wasn't exactly sure how this was going to go this morning, but I can tell you, God sees you and He sees where you're at. And I've come to tell a few righteous people in here this morning that God's going to react in your favor. Not because I said it, because He's not a man that He should lie, but He keeps His promises, Brother Shane. And this morning I've come to tell you, church, if we'll humble ourselves before an almighty God, we can escape the wrath that is yet to be poured out. Because I'm telling you, there's some wrath coming. I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, but I will tell you, I can't look to my left and I can't look to my right without saying, oh God, what a mess have we gotten ourselves into. But I'm telling you, Brother Shane, He says He giveth more grace. God's reaction to His church, His reaction to His church this morning is He wants a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And you know what, Brother Shane? He doesn't make us do it by ourselves.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Thank God for it.
He hasn't left us comfortless, church. But in the New Testament church of Jesus Christ, He sent us power, Brother Derek. Oh, and I'm telling you this morning, church, we can tap into that power.
Yes.
What is the Holy Ghost? What is the clause for the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the filling of the Holy Ghost? It's a tarry until. I'm telling you, church, we need to start once again tarrying until. Brother Derek, I'm tired of hearing about how in the old days they had prayer meetings before church. And how back, you know, way back when they had prayer meetings before they would come out into the service. And sometimes they didn't even make it out to start the service because the wind and the power of the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen. Not man-made. Not emotion. But a true, holy power from on high. That if you're touched by it, you cannot deny its existence. I told somebody, my pastor, Brother Powers, I'm sorry that he has gone on. I miss him dearly.
But he had a woman spit in his face and tell him, she said she got right down ornery with him and says, I don't believe in that Holy Ghost that you have. I don't believe in that infilling. He said, that's fine, sister, but you've got one problem. I have it. You can't tell me that it's a lie. You can't tell me that man made me do it. You can't tell me that the power that he sent to the church in Acts isn't real, because I've got it today. And it has operated in my life, and I hope that it's operated in your life. But if we want to combat the powers of hell, and Brother Derek, if we want to get back on offense and stop playing defense. If we want to stop playing defense, church, we've got to play some offense. And I don't mean to dummy down the Holy Ghost of God or the Spirit of God, but I'm trying to convey it to you this morning. We've got to stop waiting for the enemy to attack. And kind of Curly and I preached a message not too long ago to my church, and we just sit back and we think if we don't stir the waters up around us and we think that we don't make a lot of commotion that the enemy will leave us alone. No, that is a lie from hell. He goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You can't hide from him, Brother Shane. You can't hide from that spirit. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to ask you. I want to beg of you. Me too. I would preach to myself. Let us find an old-fashioned altar once again. And let us, you know, what did Jude say? Pray, building up your most precious faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Why are you preaching on the Holy Ghost? Because it's lacking in all of our churches. All of our churches. God didn't give us that gift, Brother Derek, so we could maybe have it, maybe use it. But I'm telling you, there comes a day. Somebody said, well, I don't know if I need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven. You don't. Jesus' blood is an atonement. Remission of sin. I hope you don't believe a false doctrine lie. Forgive me, Brother Darrell. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ died, and his blood cleanses us from sin. And there's only one way to heaven. But I'm telling you, God doesn't do anything by accident. And God doesn't add to us anything that we don't need in this day and age. And I'm telling you, church, if we want to combat against the power of the enemy, we can't do it by name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. But we've got to fall on our knees again, Brother Shane. And we've got to begin to call on the Lord. And us as preachers, we got to begin weeping between the porch and the altar. This haughtiness and high-mindedness and pride of life that has lifted this flesh up and made us think that we're something that we're not. We're only something by the grace and power of an almighty God who allows us to be. But I've come to tell you this morning, church, God will react. God will react to your situation. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Oh my, we can look at David and we can see his many failures and his many faults. But there was one thing that God looked on, and that was his heart. Thou art the man. Oh, did he repent, Brother Shane? Did he fall? He was mad. Sometimes, and maybe sometimes in innocence, we don't fully understand. I'm not giving us a loophole. But we maybe not fully understand the weight of our decisions. But God giveth grace if we humble ourselves this morning, church. And I'm telling you, there is a God that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I've come to tell you this morning, church, be encouraged, because there is a God that still sits on the throne. He is not dead. We have not buried him. He is still alive and forevermore. Amen. We sing a song, he is still on the throne. This morning, Brother Derek, he's not waiting to be king. He's king right now. And so if he is king right now, why don't we utilize the ability? We talked about being able to, the pastor talked about this morning, being able to come into the veil. You know, when he ripped the veil, the veil of the temple was rent to where we can go into the holiest of holies. Why don't we use it? Oh, why don't we use it the way that God, and I'm not beating you over the head, I'm trying to preach you what God laid on my heart. Why don't we use it for what God designed it for and stop trying to outquip the enemy? You're not going to outtalk him. You're not going to outtalk him over the situation in your life or the situation in my life. I'm telling you, when you talked about my testimony, and I'm trying to finish, okay? when he talked about my testimony, I could have said, but cry. Brother Derek, I don't know if I've told this here, but you want to know what was the most profound moment during the whole, I don't know, 3.5-4 months it was that I took 27 treatments of chemotherapy. You want to know what the most profound moment was, Brother Derek? Was in the middle of the night. My tears were hot on my pillow. And I rolled over and I got my phone. And I was reading the Bible on my phone. And it came to the psalm that said, the Lord will save his anointed. I thought, what a worm am I? But God's remembered me. God hasn't left me. God, I can tell you hasn't because I'm standing before you today. A miracle. My doctor will tell you. A miracle. But that's because he does honor righteousness, Brother Shane. He sees when you're toiling and we're going to and fro, he honors that righteousness and he honors that faithfulness, and God keeps a perfect record. God will react in your favor this morning, church. If you'll be faithful, as much as he likes to exact judgment, I say likes, as much as he has to exact judgment upon sin, when iniquity comes up before him, he will not forget the righteous. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. But this morning, church, I've come to tell you from the Holy Ghost of God, God remembers you, he sees you, he knows you, and he is ready to react in your favor. I don't know every situation. I don't know any under the sound of my voice. But I'm going to tell you what. I've seen God time and time again react to situation after situation. When the enemy thought he had me. When the enemy thought he had you. Come on, that's mercy I'm talking about there. That's mercy. But how much more, Brother Derek, when we're walking right and we're talking right and we're praying, maybe not as much as we should, but when we're giving it effort, God rewards that. Church, as we stand today, I'm going to ask my wife to come back to the piano if that's all right. But I feel the Holy Ghost of God, and I hope I haven't preached back past his anointing or his spirit. But I want to tell you this morning, church, God is a rewarder. And he is faithful. And I want you to understand this morning, it's not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. We're made overcomers by what? The blood of the Lamb. And the word of our testimony, faith. Without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible for us to please God, church. Let us understand that we must believe him with faith. But he's given us so many resources, Brother Shane. He's given us so many gifts. Because he cares. He knows we live in a house of flesh. Does everyone understand that this morning? We have a high priest. He feels our infirmities. He cares about us. Brother Derek, we've just got to live righteous enough to where he can react in our favor. Oh, yeah, what he says, consider my servant Job. That would be all right today, wouldn't it? I'm telling you, we've got to get past that grasshopper mentality of, I hope the enemy leaves me alone. It's a grasshopper mentality. If God be for us, who?
Good. You tell me. You tell me this morning in your life, if God is for you, who can stand against you? It's not a mind over matter. I'm sorry I keep saying that, but I want us to understand this is not fiction.
Yes, come on. That's right. It's real.
Heaven is real. Hell is real. And we've got to get to that place where we understand that we serve a God who counts faithfulness. He rewards and he's willing to react in our favor. And this morning, church, God wants to do that.
For some of you this morning, I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't know who I'm talking to. But for some of you this morning, God's ready to react. Don't give up. Don't slacken your pace. Don't allow the enemy to steal what God has already given you. I hate that song, "I went into the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me." Don't let him steal it. Keep it. Hold on to it. Build faith. Add strength to strength, church. The church of Jesus Christ is alive and it's full of power, Brother Jones. But we've got to be good stewards. And we've got to use it. This morning, church, I'm just going to ask us to come. I've delivered my heart to you. But God will reward you. Let's let him react to us in favor. Not in judgment, church. Let's let him react to us in his favor and his kindness. God, help us this morning to overcome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, I need you, Lord. Oh, yes, I need thee this morning, God. I need you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
What we needed to hear. Amen. You know, I thought about as Brother Trent was ministering and as the anointing was upon him, as he was exhorting us, that God does react to sin. He has to. It's his nature. God is pristine holiness. Sin is morally reprehensible on any scale, smallest to the largest. God has to deal with sin. But also, as Abraham would say in Genesis 18, when he is interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" He always does what is right. Amen. Just as he is pristine, unapproachable, red-hot holiness, he is also merciful, graceful, long-suffering, and full of loving kindness. And this is what I felt in prayer. And as I'm meditating on the wonderful preaching and applying that to my own heart, I almost felt like the psalmist. And I felt like many times throughout the Old Testament, I felt almost like the Lord's ears were attended right to this place.